The following production of the Banged Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead!
Hey, John, come on, it's time to do the podcast.
All right, I was just watching the Redskins injury report.
Hum, hum!
But stop it!
You like that?
Once you go deck, you don't go back.
Deck.
He's Jesus, bro!
Bang.
You know, we know what we're capable of. You know, have we shown it to the world yet? I don't think we have.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
Hold on. With Scrumble?
This is football!
Maybe there's a chance.
And now, here's John and Tom.
Simeon pump faking, throwing long far side, intercepted Marcus Peters at midfield, and pulled down by Virgil Green. In the first quarter, Marcus Peters comes up with two gigantic defensive plays, picking Trevor Siemian on the far side of the field. Siemian takes the snap right at his numbers, moves to the right side. He's mobile, pump faking. Now he's going to throw long down the near sideline. The pass will be intercepted by Ron Parker. The third turnover gain in this first half. Siemian will scramble. Now he throws it across the field. Picked off near side by Acker. And a treacherous mistake made by Trevor Siemian. He was trying to get a big play. Instead, it's a fifth Denver turnover. The Kansas City Chiefs have beaten the Denver Broncos for a fourth consecutive time. That has not happened in 17 years.
Damn. John, I have breaking news.
Okay, tell me.
Trevor Siemian sucks.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to say I should have traded you for Deshaun Watson back when you offered him to me about 4 weeks ago, now that Deshaun Watson has his knee all plastered up inside his ear hole.
Oh, well, no, I was talking about the injury. Yeah, I know. I am deaf to fantasy football players this year, man. I just have killed player after every time.
I don't want to hear it.
Please.
Last week was horrible.
Yes, I know. And I wasn't going to lead in with anything because it just... I mean, it was so bad. I mean, I just beat you in everything so bad. It was just, you know, what, you know.
Why? Whatever. You're lucky I'm here. I was going to send my wife in to stand in for me.
Well, obviously, I'm not the only one who thinks Trevor Siemian sucks, because how bad are you when you lose your job to Brock Osweiler?
You're pretty goddamn bad.
Well, that's what happened.
Pretty goddamn bad. And now Brock Osweiler has come full circle, and the Browns are paying for him to be there to throw interceptions in Denver.
Just to get a second round pick that they can screw up and ruin.
a second rounder that they tried to trade and couldn't.
Jeez.
Oh, it's been a fun week, hasn't it? Man, fuck football. I hate fucking football.
I know you do. And he's John, God, by the way. He is John, so you know he's the Redskins fan and the Penn State fan. And I'm Tom, the Cowboys fan and the Buckeye fan. And also my fantasy football team beat his team. But anyway, like I said, I wasn't going to sit here and gloat. Did you think I was going to gloat?
Well... That's the sound of my team going down the drain. Dude, you know what that's the sound of? That's the sound of me plopping Juju Smith-Schuster on my bench and going, eh, fuck it. I should start Julio Jones. He's the superstar that's going to break out one of these fucking days.
No, the sound of you going down the drain is this one.
That was it, because Kirk Cousins throws that meaningless interception at the end of the Cowboys game, and my freaking game went shit. Fuck. That was it. Not only that, but last week I tweeted to Jamie fucking Eisenberg of CBS Fantasy as to what to do with my running backs, and he suggested that I pick up and start Matt Forte, who got me no fucking points whatsoever. God damn it. And I only lost to you by like 5 points.
Boy, if you'd have had Matt Forte in last night, you'd have had a great week.
I know, and I took him out. God damn it.
Jesus Christ.
I don't want to hear about your death to fantasy football.
All right. It's Bang.
I hate football.
It's Bang Radio Hour number 309. Coming up, the commissioner be overcorrecting, John.
I wish he would overcorrect some of these ridiculous calls that the Cowboys got last week that enabled them to win.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's always with the call, always with the refs. The Browns be not trading. Jaime be maddening. The Bradys be costuming and Akba be Akbon, John.
Akbon? Okay. Well, what else are you going to do? That's what I would do.
Well, you know what we have to do first? We have to listen to Bill Belichick's weekly explanation.
We obviously got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of plays that we just hopefully can get more out of than what – there's more there than what we're getting. So we got to find a way to get a little bit more out of those.
We can score more points.
Yeah, that's how you win games, you know. Get more points than the other team.
This reporter asked Belichick. This is classic Belichick right here.
I saw the video of this. His face is ridiculous.
Oh, this is great.
Coach, the game was played predominantly in the teens. Is that a game, a style that you're comfortable playing?
What are you talking about?
Well, not scoring a lot of points, not high-flying offense necessarily, more low-scoring, grind it out. Is that a style you like, that the team prefers?
Well, we prefer to win.
Yeah. As, whatever. We'll win. Haven't you watched his teams, kid? I get it. He's Bill Belichick. He's a defensive-minded coach, and you think he would prefer to do that. But his teams throughout the years have been high-flying scoring machines.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. What? The fuck are you? I swear, that guy sounds about old enough to have been still shitting in his diapers when Bill Belichick won his first Super Bowl with the Patriots.
You know, it wasn't high flying. Is that the type of game you prefer? Is that better, what the team likes? That was right.
I don't understand what you mean by playing in the teens. I haven't been in my teens in about 50 years, so not sure what you mean there.
Oh man. Yeah, what'd they win? 21-13, right?
Yeah, 13. 21-13. That was a tough game.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, I said that bit about Tom Brady right there and how old Bill Belichick went, how long ago they won their last Super Bowls. You realize that when they beat the Panthers a couple of weeks ago, when he beat the Panthers in the Super Bowl, Cam Newton was 8 years old.
What?
How's that make you feel?
Wow.
I know.
Wow. Well, speaking of Tom Brady, they asked him if he and Giselle were going to dress up for Halloween.
You wouldn't tell the media yesterday what you're going as for Halloween. I know you love Halloween. So what's it going to be?
I think we're some type of avocado and toast. I don't know which one I am. My wife bought this.
Is that it?
My wife bought the costume.
Avocado. One of them's an avocado and the other one's toast.
Toast.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. What the hell is that? I'm going to be toast? Well, that doesn't make any sense. It's almost like she's saying, hey, look at me. I'm a New York Giants defensive back.
Well,
what the hell does that mean, toast?
Well, I think she's going to have some. She bought some costume that's like a square-looking piece of bread with maybe butter and some brown spots on it. I don't know, man. It's toast. Breakfast. Bread, toast.
Tom explains toast to everyone.
I know, right? What are you asking me for?
And he's the avocado, right?
He said he didn't know who was dressing as what.
Toast. He has been sacked more than any quarterback, I think, this year so far. So maybe she's trying to tell him because she doesn't want him to keep playing, remember?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
so
you're toast this year.
You mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm sorry, I know that name offends you.
Please, honestly, we really have to get past these kinds of things, Tom. I should hope we're more liberal than that.
Well, he's talking about his speed and looking up at the Jumbotron.
To be honest, the reason why I kept looking back because of, in Madden, my speed is like 82, 83.
In Madden?
So I was like, nah, I think he's going to catch me and then catch me. And then next thing you know, I pulled away and I swerved to the right and I was able to get the touchdown.
Are you tired?
Yeah, I was tired.
What should your speed be in Madden?
I don't know. I mean, after today, hopefully, it'll get boosted up.
His speed's got to be raised in the game, in the Madden game. He's only at 82, and he knew by watching himself on the Jumbotron run away from everybody, it's got to be higher than that.
I know. He should have been like, man, I got to push the button on the side of this here football, and you know what? John put me on the bench, so fuck it. I'm going 97 yards for the touchdown that would have won him the game. God damn it.
Wow.
I hate football.
Oh, man.
I know. Even a fun line like that's not any good for me. I mean, you know, but I can understand what he says. Sometimes I play these shooter games, and when I'm driving by, I see somebody standing around outside in the front of the 7-Eleven, and I think, man, I could blow that dude's head off right there. And then I find myself kind of going a little gray on the edges.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. And nobody should call the FBI either. What am I talking about?
Jeez. All right. Let's move on. Okay, so, oh my God, the Browns. I mean, this is like a movie now or a cartoon. I mean, this seems like they're living out a Bang cartoon.
This is, okay, them going over to England is like one of those old comedies from the 40s where we sent some stupid GIs over to England to learn how to freaking fly planes or something.
All right, well, let's start with that, the game itself over there in England, the Browns and the Vikings. And, yeah. Man, just no respect from this Vikings announcer. And I like this guy. We've had clips of him on the show before. He's pretty emotional at times, but
well, he's a definite homer for the Vikings for sure.
Oh, well, that's he is, and I love that. Yeah, well, and so do the fans who listen to him, who are Vikings fans. They love it too. That's what they want.
Right.
And here he is doing, oh my God, there's so much of it. All right, so here's a penalty, and just he's always getting sarcastic and just, you know, it's great. Well, here, listen.
Thielen was mugged by Brian Body Calhoun, who had no chance. Flags all over the place.
He's left.
Let's go first and goal here, boys.
Pass interference.
20.
Defense, number 20.
Right.
That foul occurred in the end zone there for the moment. They placed it at the 1 yard line. First and goal.
20. Right.
Right. Yeah. It's like you and me were standing up in front of our TV pointing at him on the screen. That guy right there. There he is. 24. Yeah, him. 20.
Let's see. Here's the Browns going for a field goal.
Gonzalez 6 of 9 this season. Right footed kick is up and it is no good. He missed it to the left. 0-7 Cleveland Browns football.
0-7 Cleveland Browns football.
That was the one they missed in the fourth quarter. They missed one in the they missed an extra point in the first quarter.
Right.
They had a lead. Now tell me if this is true, because this dude said so on the broadcast that the Browns have had a lead for 10 plays.
Let's see.
Well, we'll see how long the Cleveland Browns can hold the lead. Amazingly, they've only held a lead for 10 snaps this season.
10 snaps.
Zane Gonzalez with the extra point try. It hit the right upright in very Browns-esque fashion.
Hit the right upright in very Browns-esque fashion.
We have a new word, Browns-esque.
Yeah, 10 snaps. They held a lead for 10 snaps.
Well, they had that lead 6-0 for about another, probably 12 snaps. So they're almost up to 25 total plays that they've had a lead this year.
Throws it, and it's knocked away in the air and batted down by Emmanuel Ogba.
What?
Ogba.
So he got something stuck in his throat?
Ogba.
It sounds like one of the Star Wars characters trying to talk to you in the bar.
Ogba.
Right.
Oh, no, thank you, buddy. We're not flying today.
Right.
Right. Ogba.
Ogba. Wow.
Ogba.
All right, wait. I got one more, and this is my favorite.
Kaiser goes back to pass, trailing by a million, passes over the middle, and it's caught.
And with the final, the Minnesota Vikings, 1.38 million, the Cleveland Browns, 6.
Kaiser goes back to pass, trailing by a million, just passes so over the nonchalant. Middle, and it's caught.
So nonchalant, Kaiser back to pass, trailing by a million, and he throws over.
That's terrific. Yeah. I'm going to have to listen to him some more. I don't know. Man.
Oh, he's
listening
great.
To the Redskins is getting very depressing.
He is great. He really is. Now, after that game, you know, I think after football, Jerick McKinnon has a career as an auction announcer. I mean, really,
I think so.
This guy is unbelievable. Jerick McKinnon, was this a Didi with him?
This is a Didi Kinkabwala.
Right.
Talking to him right after the football game. And yeah, I think he still hasn't come down from all the horse amphetamines they shoot him with at halftime.
Does she still have a crush on you, or did she give up?
Oh, she gave up long ago.
Oh, did she?
Long ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, well, I guess you weren't funny enough.
No. What the hell the problem was?
All right. So, did she? She didn't stop following us, did she?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I really have no idea, but she doesn't chat with me anymore. Sometimes she'll like something that I say, but that's about all. This week I was chit-chatting with Joe Thomas while he was on injured reserve watching the football game.
Oh, man. Tell him I want to take him fishing.
Oh, all right. Well, next time I see him out there, if he answers my question again,
all right,
I will.
All right, so here's Aditi talking to Jerick McKinnon after the Vikings win.
All right, Jerick, that was 5 lead changes before you rattled off those 18 points. What was the difference?
Man, we just knew we had to come out the second half and execute. We started slow, and, you know, that's something that we got to do better. We know this Browns team was going to be tough. You know, the record definitely doesn't show that the team that they are, and we knew that coming into this game. And, you know, they gave us everything they had. You know, we had to just handle it. And like I said, fight back, bounce back. You know, we came out the second half and played better football.
Well, as you say that, your numbers overall were great, but the rushing looked like it was a little bit tough sledding. Mm-hmm. What were they doing well?
I mean, they're just fitting good, you know, coming off blocks and doing what they do. We knew that coming into the game, it would be difficult to run the ball. You know, they had stopped some pretty good backs in the past. And, you know, we just had to keep pounding and keep grinding it out. And, you know, we believe in those guys up front, you know, each and every week. So, you know, we're just going to continue to get better, keep working, and go from there.
Jeez.
No shit.
Coming into the game, it would be difficult to run the ball. You know, they had stopped some pretty good backs in the past. Fight back, bounce back.
Fight back, bounce back.
Fight back, bounce back.
Can't put a pipe in there, Mr. Hummus. My daddy's got a pipe. Why did you put a cigar in there, Mr.? Why didn't you put a cigarette in there, Mr. Hummus? I bet you can't put a pipe in there. If you put a pipe in there, I bet you get stuck. I bet you know what you do, Hummus. How does that work, Mr.? Does it do that every time? I like that. That's fun. Can you make it work again? Let's try it again, Hummus. Can we, Hummus? Hummus, huh? See, that's keen. I guess you got to be pretty smart to think of something like that. Why did you do that? I want to tell my father. My father's a policeman. He's not afraid of anybody because he's a policeman. He has Nick and lick you and your whole family.
Wow.
I think that's the same interview, isn't it?
Fight back, bounce back. Fight back, bounce back. Fight back, bounce back. Fight back, bounce back.
Oh, hell.
Yeah.
Right.
Seriously, with the level of humor that this show possesses, we should work for the Cleveland Browns.
Kaiser goes back to pass, trailing by a million, passes over the middle, and it's caught.
Those scoreboards in the UK go way the fuck up there, don't they?
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
hey, fellas, all we need is about 700,000 touchdowns, and we'll be right back in this thing.
Oh, my God. They're so bad.
Oh, dude, they're going to go 0-16. Do you see a win on the freaking horizon here?
I was
who's going to fail?
John, this is it is so eerily similar to the Lions and the way, you know, the way Coach Liza Minnelli was with the Lions and the way he spoke very much like Hugh Jackson, you know.
I'm not going in your tank, mister. Whatever you're thinking, I'm not going in that tank with you.
I heard growth out of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's got positive things like that going on, so he's not going to go in your tank.
He's won one game in the last 2 years. That's better than none. Come on, fellas.
But no, I think now we have reached the point where we are cheering this train on to an 0-16 season, right? I mean, just like we did with Detroit, we are getting behind this.
That's right. I want to see it happen. Let's go, Hugh. I hope they keep him long enough for it to happen. Because if they bring in an interim coach, you know, then it's just not quite the same thing. If Hugh Jackson's been building for 2 years, and remember, Tom, last year they got to play the Patriots, so they got to see what they wanted to be.
That's okay? Right. That's right. That's so. Right. Now, Hugh, now I think the reason we're going to get this is because no team for an entire game is ever perfect.
Okay. Of course not.
And Hugh says in order for the Browns to win, that needs to happen. Listen.
I think everything has got to be perfect for us to have a chance to win a football game. And that's just where we are.
Wait a second. He said everything has to be perfect just to have a chance to win. Listen.
I think everything has got to be perfect for us to have a chance to win a football game. And that's just where we are, you know, as a football team. And we get it. And our coaching staff get it. We as players get it. And we work that way. We try to do the best we can of doing everything right. But that's where we are.
And we try to do the best we can.
we're doing our doggonest down here, Tom. And I'm telling you something right now. It's just all got to be perfect, or it's all gonna fall apart. Everything has to be ship shape and tied up in knots. We're gonna get after it, there, boys. Let's get out there. And hey, look, we got a free trip to London.
Oh my gosh.
No kidding. No kidding. You know, the British watched that and thought, you know, we can invade them motherfuckers and take them back.
Oh, wait. Hi, Bang Radio
Hello?
Hour.
Hey, hello? Hello, Mr. NFL. My name is Billy, and I made a trade.
Wait, what do you want to do? We got a little kid on the phone, John.
My name is Billy, and I made a trade. I work for the Cleveland Browns, and I have to call Mr. NFL and tell him about my trade.
You made a trade? What did you trade?
I did. I made a trade with the Cincinnati Bengals for a quarterback.
You got a new quarterback?
His name is A.J. Carrot, and he's a quarterback, and I made a trade, and now he will come to play for the Cleveland Browns. Hooray!
Okay, and well, what are you trading for him?
I gave them two draft picks.
Two draft picks, okay.
I don't know what a draft pick is, but Mr. Jackson said it was okay, so I did it. I made a trade. Hooray!
Well, okay, well, all right, Billy.
I tell you what, I hope everybody's going to calm down now, because everybody said I messed up because I didn't find Mr. NFL and tell him, and I've been on the phone for a long time trying to find Mr. NFL, and now I found you, and I have to tell you I made a trade before it's too late.
Oh, Billy, I'm sorry. It is too late.
It is?
It is.
Oh, no. You know, this is just like being back with Matt Millen.
I'm sorry, Billy.
Well, it's fucking sucks, I gotta tell you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Oh, John, the poor kid. Well, I don't know. I mean, I didn't even know Billy was... We should have known that this is what's going on in Cleveland, that Billy's there.
It's obvious, and I think he's getting messages from Matt Millen under the table.
All right, well, I don't know why he thinks we're the NFL.
I think, honest to God, I think he was just punching random numbers to try to find somebody that he could tell he made a trade before it was too late.
Hooray!
Well, this deal was supposed to happen with the Bengals and the Browns, and A.J. McCarron was going to be traded to the Browns, and... The Bengals had gotten an email from the Browns regarding this trade, and it was sent just before the deadline on Tuesday, because that's when the trade deadline was in the league. And the Bengals actually didn't see the email until after the deadline, because it was sent...
What the hell is that?
Well, it was sent to an unrecognized email address from the Browns, so I don't know if it went and... It just didn't get there or what, but...
It was Billy at ARC.net.
It didn't matter because the trade was happening anyway. The Bengals, it's not like the Bengals didn't know. The Bengals were actually in the process of filing their own paperwork to finalize the trade, right. Which the Browns failed to complete in time. Cleveland was supposed to send their own signed documentation to the league and communicate directly with Mr. NFL in order to to get this done before the deadline. And a Bengals spokeswoman told the Plain Dealer in Cleveland, that's the Cleveland newspaper, that the Bengals director of player personnel, Duke Tobin, told Browns executive vice president, Sashi Brown, that he was sending the Bengals paperwork to the NFL office and told the Browns they needed to do the same. Well, the NFL got nothing from the Browns.
Are you sure they didn't end up in their spam folder?
And the Browns made an appeal. They appealed. No, we appeal. Yes, we know it's after the deadline, but we appeal. Oh, on what ground? On what grounds do you appeal?
Clock was slow.
I mean, seriously.
They still have 56K dial-up, Tom. That's the problem. They couldn't connect. Right.
What are you doing, Billy?
You see an email from Browns Kids at AOL.com and it's them. Actually, it's probably, what was his name? Davis. ButchDavis.com. It's Butch Davis's old email address.
That's why it was unrecognizable.
Butch Davis Browns at AOL.com. Oh my God.
So the Browns were giving the Bengals their, giving them a second round and third round pick next year. You know, that would have been the second round pick, Osweiler.
That's right. Jesus. Oh my God. Seriously. And a team that follows the same, metrics that this guy that they've hired as their GM follows just won the World Series, right?
So, right.
So we'll see how this works out for football. Jesus.
You know, I think about going back to that trade. I mean, that's the off. So Houston calls up Cleveland and says, hey, we want to give you a second round pick. And they go, all right, and what do you want? To give you Brock Osweiler.
Yes, you take this freaking stinking fish off our hands.
What a crazy
I'm telling
thing.
You, he looks like, I'm on a Star Wars thing. He looks like General Akbar. His eyes should be coming out of the side of his ear hole. He's going to see the blitz and go, it's a trap.
It's a trap.
Oh, my God. He's starting this week. Shit.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It's ridiculous. And I got C.J. Anderson. Man, my running backs are just shit. I hate football.
Oh.
But I didn't have a bad... I mean, I lost every game I was in this week, but my week was not as bad as the Browns. Seriously. What email did they use? That's what I want to know. How did they get an unrecognized email to do something so fucking important? Honest to God. A.J. McCarron's probably going, whew, shoo. If he's still going out with Miss America, or whatever she was, Miss Alabama, remember Brent Musburger was all over her.
God.
Yeah, if he's still going out with her, she probably put her foot down. Don't you dare get traded to the Browns. I will not go with you to Cleveland.
I won't do it.
Won't do it.
Won't go in your tank. I won't go in your tank.
That's right. Cleveland's your tank.
That's
I don't know how you do that. I really don't. That whole story, when you said to me the other day in a text that you think the Bengals might have screwed something up, that you're hearing something about that, then I started thinking, okay, well, maybe it makes more sense that there was a snafu somewhere along the line. But as it turns out, it's just the Browns completely fucking this up. I can't fucking believe it.
Of course.
I can't believe it. I mean, honestly, you could not write a comedy and say this is plausible. People would go, get the fuck out of here with that. That's stupid.
You are a factory of sadness!
It just continues on and on.
That's not even sadness. That's complete... I'm flabbergasted.
The guys are trying as hard as they can.
Billy's trying as hard as he can, John.
Hooray! I'm gonna be a ninja! Look at me, I'm a shadow warrior! Hiya! Hiya!
I'm on the deep web sending emails to trades.
Deep web.
Oh, Lord.
All right. This is getting a little bit stupid now with this whole thing with Zeke. So I'm all set. He's going to be suspended. I've accepted it. And then this morning, nope, Zeke's playing Sunday.
Yeah. honest to God, I think the Cowboys have lawyers out there in the huddle in practice.
Well, I mean, I don't even understand it. As you know, it just seems stupid that they both keep going back and forth if he's just going to keep playing.
Well, I think it's stupid that the NFL is doing this anyway. If you've got anything legal there, go for it. But it doesn't seem like you do, and now you're just doing it just to do it.
Yeah, I know, but his whole legal thing is that he is judge, jury, and executioner, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. But again, it's he was, you know, Zeke isn't being accused of letting some air out of some footballs. They're accusing him of a felony of, you know, and violently attacking a female. You know,
right, but that's a little different. I saw Joe Mixon had a nice game the other day.
He did. Yes.
Yeah. The guy that was on videotape doing exactly what they're trying to get Zeke for doing. That's all
right.
He said, she said.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. So,
it's just, I can't believe it.
Okay. So Jerry is, you know, oh, by the way, well, let me tell you the news piece that separate from this, but let me play Jerry first. Here's somebody asking him, if Roger Goodell is trying to get back at him, because of Greg Hardy or because of Ray Rice, you know, making up for that.
Right, right. A makeup call.
I feel so reactionary towards maybe a Greg Hardy story or a Ray Rice story. And it feels like the league's trying to make a little bit of a statement to appease the masses. Is that a fair feeling to
Absolutely.
Have?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They've swung from
where this 2 years ago by the same collective bargaining agreement, in my mind, and he would be playing by the same collective bargaining agreement and the same commissioner.
Okay, so he's saying if this had been 2 years ago, you know, prior to the Ray Rice deal happening, if this had happened right then, this suspension wouldn't be happening. Nobody would be talking about it.
It would be buried, Tom. I'm telling you right now. And really, the fact of the matter is that, goddammit, remember those pictures that got taken of me in that men's room with those two little lassies? Well, one of them just happens to be Roger Goodell's niece. And who the hell am I supposed to know it? Am I supposed to check everybody's ID?
Well, now Jones says that he called. Okay, this is what he calls it. I say, you know, is he trying to make up for the Ray Rice thing? Jerry calls it overcorrecting.
I'm sure he'd like to take back his initial Ray Rice stance and a few others, and he's in the process of having tried to correct that, and in doing so, Zeke is a victim of an overcorrection. Let me get one thing real clear, and I'm being reminded of that. This is not an issue of whether or not we're against domestic violence or not. If we have a player or we have somebody guilty of domestic violence, they shouldn't play. But this is not the case. He's not. In our society, he's not guilty of that.
So he's just saying Zeke is not guilty, and Roger's just trying to use him to, you know.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is I don't care what anybody says anymore about our society. Our society judges you on your headlines, and doesn't matter what the courts ever fucking say. It doesn't matter what the law ever says. As long as somebody thinks you did it, you did it. We should be really looking into that Hillary Clinton, by the way. Just want to put that out there.
Here's the thing is perception is reality. And that's basically what you're saying. If 99% right of the people believe you did something, then it doesn't really matter whether you did or not.
Well, in the case that I was talking about 30% of the people believe it, and it still doesn't make any fucking difference.
Well, now, here, check out. Now, one thing we've always talked about, Adam Schefter almost always gets it right when he reports yep something, right? I mean, that's yep the one guy we hear, Adam Schefter said this, well, it must be true.
Yep, he does come through, that's for sure, for a short little shrimpy guy.
Well, he says that a group of NFL owners, including Jerry Jones, are trying to hijack Roger Goodell's contract extension.
Well, I mean, is it a done deal?
No, the extension is not a done deal, and they're trying to keep it from getting, according to Schefter, they're trying to keep it from becoming a done deal. They're trying to get rid of Goodell. Finally, John. Well, finally!
Why can't they? They're the owners. You know, this is the thing. I guess they're going to need a consensus among 32 owners, but I have to think, if it's a group of NFL owners that doesn't like Roger Goodell, that's probably about 25 of them.
Well, as long as I think, I can't remember. Well, here's the deal. They have to sign him to a contract. I don't know how many of them have to, say, vote yes, we want Roger Goodell back. I don't know if it's 75% or 51%, like one more than, you know, 17 to 15. I don't know. I don't know. Right. I don't know. I don't know what that number is.
I don't know either. But you know what? They shouldn't let Jeffrey Lurie vote. Fuck the Eagles. And they don't have any Super Bowl trophies. They should just let Super Bowl owners vote.
And now they got Jay Ajayi. Jesus.
Well, I've heard his knees are bad. I'm hoping so.
Really?
I mean, really, I don't wish injury on anybody except for maybe Jay Ajayi and Carson Wentz.
His knees are bad? Really?
That's what I've heard, that the Dolphins are giving up on his knees.
No kidding.
Basically, they don't think he can take the pounding that he's going to take. And frankly, I think that with Blount and West...
Smallwood,
yeah, with those guys up there, I think that they'll be fine. He doesn't have to carry the ball 25 times a game, and nobody does that anymore anyway.
Well, there's a handful.
I hate fantasy football these days when it comes to running backs, dude. You find somebody that gets 12 touches, he's your running back, too.
Been that way for a while.
Anyway, it looks to me, since we just talked about running backs for a second there, that the notion that running backs are a dime a dozen should be dead by now with all the rookies that are blowing up all over the damn place. High draft picks, playing good football. What do you know?
So, all I know is Zeke's going to play against the Chiefs, and they're going to need him to win that game. But,
He'll be suspended again on Tuesday and reinstated again on Thursday.
I know, it's ridiculous. And, you know, do you suppose the Chiefs are going, Jesus, we didn't even prepare for him?
They should prepare. You should prepare for. Oh yeah, right. Who's not going to prepare for him anyway?
You know.
You should. You should. Andy Reid's not stupid. At least until he gets in the playoffs.
So we had a little thing at the beginning of last week's show because we recorded the show before we found out about Bob McNair and the comment he made about the inmates running the prison.
Right.
You know, because this all goes back to the whole anthem protest and kneeling and stuff, and. DeAndre Hopkins just walked out of practice when they found out about it.
Well, I remember what Ben Roethlisberger said about him. He's a drama queen. I'm not surprised.
Again, they were at this meeting talking about this protest stuff and all that, and Bob McNair said, according to ESPN, we can't have the inmates running the prison. Now, obviously, it's not prison. It's asylum. It's supposed to be asylum.
Oh, yeah, the asylum.
Right. You know, it's like we can't have the crazy people running things. It wasn't.
I think everybody, we got to figure it out.
Right. It was a bad metaphor. But it's crazy that he would say, of all the times, everything that's going on, and then he says it then at that meeting is unbelievable.
Because he knows it in his heart, Tom. He believes it in his heart. He's one of the three that's been, I don't know what are they, they've been summoned. Him and Jerry Jones and Bob Kraft have been, are they subpoenaed to give over their phone records and emails about whether or not they've been colluding?
To keep Kaepernick out?
To keep Kaepernick out.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, that came down. I think I saw that this morning. I think it's those three.
Oh, well, that's probably the group of owners that are trying to get rid of Goodell then.
there's your smoking gun. But, I mean, you know, look, here's the thing. I got two things to say about this. Number one, if you are a budding young reporter, go put your microphone in front of 80-year-old white men. They say the dumbest fucking things, and you will be viral in no time.
Yeah, remember the L.A. Clippers owner? Oh, my God.
Right. And I'm not making any excuses for him at all, but Jesus fucking Christ, you guys are going to walk off your team? Really? You're going to give up millions of fucking dollars because that's how the guy that signs your check actually feels? Who gives a fuck how he feels? You're going to make your money, and I mean, you can leave if you want. I'm not trying to say that they're wrong in feeling upset. I would, but at the same time, I would also go, damn, this is a fat living I got. Where, you know, what else am I going
to
do?
They went to Seattle for that game, and half the team kneeled. They hadn't been doing that, but they did after that happened. And then left tackle Dwayne Brown was so pissed off, they left him in Seattle. They traded him to Seattle. He was so mad. He just was furious.
No, that's not true. That's not why they traded him. They've been working on that for a long time, haven't
they?
No,
he was pissed.
They did the old Lane Kiffin.
So, of course, what did Bob McNair have to do?
I have to apologize.
Apologize. I regret that I used that expression. I love this. They have to lie. They have to.
I know.
I never meant to offend anyone, and I was not referring to our players. Well, who the hell were you referring to?
I was talking about the Cowboys.
I used a figure of speech that was never intended to be taken literally. I've never characterized our players or our league that way, and I apologize to anyone who is offended by it.
Honestly, I think what he said was wrong and stupid, but at the same time, holy fucking Christ, people, it's not a declaration of war. And it really, people take everything and make such the biggest fucking deals out of everything.
Okay, but the problem here, I don't think is not that he's, not even that he's referring to them as inmates. It's that he, you know, by saying we can't have the inmates running the prison, he's going completely against what Roger Goodell and so many others have said, and that is, hey, we support their right to do this. You know,
right? No,
this
he doesn't support their right to do that.
No, and I think that's what really upset them is that he doesn't have his players' backs.
Well, Deshaun Watson gave up on him. Deshaun Watson said, "You know what? Fuck this."
Yeah,
and wrenched his knee out without even being touched.
Why do you have to say his name? It just makes me mad.
I don't know. Somebody please tell me again how this field turf is supposed to be good for these athletes.
I don't know, but I was ready to make a nice run fantasy. I had him and Will Fuller, and now Fuller's not going to – I mean, what, he's got to catch the ball from Savage now? Jesus.
Savage is throwing to Fuller.
Ugh.
Well, you know, you should have traded me for Trevor Siemian when you had the chance.
Oh, Jesus. That's worse than a torn ACL. All right. Another guy who's pissed off is John Schnatter, the founder of Papa John's Pizza that does all the commercials with Peyton Manning.
Right.
You know, they're the official sponsor of the NFL since 2010. And on a third quarter earnings call this week, he said the NFL has hurt us by not resolving the current debacle to the players' and owners' satisfaction. NFL leadership has hurt Papa John's shareholders. This should have been nipped in the bud a year and a half ago.
You know, fuck this dude. He always takes everything politically, and I mean, everybody knows where he's in the tank. He's a freaking moron for doing this, and he took a $70 million hit overnight. Did you see that? His stock dropped like a rock. You know what? I got no doubt that the NFL's viewership is down, but I think that CBS, like we've said, they've got their finger on it by saying it's oversaturation. There's too much.
No.
Right? Thursday night football is killing it, and it's not because they've got bad games this year. It's because players can't fucking handle all this goddamn shit.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think that that's probably what got something to do with it, and the fact that probably is that their sales or for their advertising is down because so many people watch the Red Zone, which doesn't have any advertising. So I don't know how that works in, you know. I guess the NFL's making money on the back door there, right? Because that's their channel.
You can't get it without cable. It's a higher tier cable channel. You don't even get it with basic cable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I know, and that's what I'm saying. The NFL's making money both ways because they're saying on this channel that you pay us extra for, we're not going to show you any advertising. And over here they go, but you can keep paying us for advertising. That's probably why one of the reasons why his pizza sales are going down during NFL broadcasts is because people aren't seeing as many of the commercials.
Papa John believes the company's connection to the NFL now comes with a, quote, negative consumer sentiment. And it's possible that he's also taking the NFL ratings decline into account. So the NFL offered him extra commercials. Now, you know, you can say the NFL ratings are down, and that might have something to do with which teams are good and not good. And
Right. There's a lot of bad teams.
All of that and, you know. I don't think that's Papa John's problem. I think when Papa John got with the NFL and started advertising as hard as he did, people started eating some Papa John's pizza that was shoved down their throat. You know, that's how America is. They're sheep. You know, you keep telling them enough, they'll try it. And then all these NFL fans tried Papa John's pizza, and they found out what we all know, that Papa John's pizza sucks.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's not good.
It's garbage, and once they realized that, they stopped eating Papa John's pizza, and now their sales have gone down.
You know, the way I look at it, too, is I don't care. If he's right, and it's because of whatever he thinks it's because of, and the NFL's losing money, like I said before, drop ticket prices. Oh, no. Gee whiz, gosh. You know, give me the Sunday ticket for $100 and make it available on every platform. Gosh, that would really suck, wouldn't it? As a consumer, I don't give a fuck because all of you people that think you're doing something by not watching football, I'm watching football and I don't give a fuck if you are or not.
Oh, shoot. Hold on a second. I got to send a memo to Brett. Probably want to cancel that pitch meeting with Papa John's.
And, forgot about that.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
Jeez. Stupid. God damn it. I always put my foot in it, don't I?
No, I'm the one who said it sucks. One thing John and I are not going to do is endorse something that we don't use.
That's right.
And I would never endorse Papa John's pizza. I don't care.
You know, and that's true. And this message has been brought to you by Papa John's Pizza.
Don't eat it.
That's right. This shit sucks. I do have some email. Okay. I've got an email here from Preston Young. Preston Young. Hey, gents, your site is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh, this never gets old.
Yeah. Right.
Phenomenon.
I started listening back in the mid-2000s. So I guess he probably remembers that clip when it was new. I guess before the radio show.
He started listening in the mid-2000s. We did our very first show Labor Day weekend 2005, right after Hurricane Katrina.
That's right. We decided that since it was such an apocalypse, we should come on and try to make the world a better place. And I think we've done just a fine job of it. And as a matter of fact, Preston Young agrees. He says he started listening back in the mid-2000s before the radio show, which I guess he thinks this is because we changed the name of it. And he's not the only one that didn't realize we changed the name of it. He says he forgot the name, and for years he beat his brains out trying to remember the name.
Oh, I thought maybe he was just like kind of, he was saying I started listening when he really was talking about watching the cartoons, maybe, is what I kind of thought.
Well, he says something a little further on that starts to mean it all makes sense here. It says, I'm back, which is great. Nice to see you, Preston. Just started listening to the shoe this morning. He spelled it shoe. All right, so okay. Waiting for my Browns to get shelved in England. So there, I think, answers everything as to why he beats his brains out and forgot the name of the show because he's a Browns fan who either lives in England or was getting ready to watch them get beat in jolly old UK. He was wondering, how can I get access to the older cartoons like Bronco Billy and Winslow the Chosen One? My son is now 10, and I want him to check them out. It would really add a fire to my miserable life, and I've never laughed so hard in my life. Keep up the incredible work. Here for life. Thank you, Preston Young. I think that's great. The Bang cartoons from the past can bridge generational gaps, Tom.
Jeez.
Come here, son. Let me show you why the Eagles suck. Look, here's Benjamin Franklin.
That was a great one.
All right, anyway, that was a long time ago, though. But yeah, those are coming, actually. And by the way, I want to go ahead and take this moment to mention that the YouTube channel is up and running, so just have to go out there and search Bang Radio Hour. You'll find a bunch of stuff like Matt Wells when he did that silly little intro for us that one time. But you'll also find our football helmet with the Groucho nose and glasses logo that we have. And you'll see Bang Radio Hour and pick one episode. I've got more than 100 of them are up there by now. The first 100. By sure up there. Cartoons are going to come next, so hang on to your hats. Here they come. All right, I got one more from Dave in Atlanta. Dave says, hey, Bang and the other guy, I am poutine enthusiast.
Oh, okay, the top guy. Yeah, there you go.
He is leading our Pick'ems League, and he's also Blizz on the Extreme Skins message board. Cool. Hey, how you doing? Now I got to really be careful when I'm making fun of this dude. Fun as hell to hear you all laugh at the name on podcast. FYI, Doxin Octagon is not a reference to Dr. Octopus. It's a reference to rapper Kool Keith's alter ego, Dr. Octagon.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Curse you, Spider-Man, you bitch motherfucker!
Wow.
I like my reference better. Thank you anyway, Blizz. Anyway, so that's cool. Poutine Enthusiast. That's a very funny name, and it also indicates that you've been listening to the show for a very long time, or you really like cheese curds. Let's see. He says he loves the podcast so much he even donated that one time. And I do remember that. That was that one time. Tom, remember that one time?
Yeah, that one time.
That one time, I know. And the only key word in there that I'm listening to is one. So
yeah, I'd like to see a second time.
Yeah, how about that?
From everybody.
Go for two.
But we got one from across the pond from Pete Smith in Sandhurst, England.
Oh, Pete is the, he's a bookie over there, if I remember right.
Oh, okay. All right. He says, he wants to ask Jerry Jones, are you leading the lynch mob for Roger Goodell after Zeke's latest suspension?
Oh, come on now, Pete. I'm going to tell you something right now. Lynch mob is so mid-1900s. You know, everybody was doing that back in the old days. Nowadays, if you really want to get somebody good, you take him up in your big $65 million helicopter and you throw his ass out over goddamned Oklahoma somewhere. But I didn't say that on any kind of program that anybody's ever going to hear. So I am absolved of all guilt. I'm going to Mexico, gas up the copter, and get my tequila.
Seems like his answer to everything.
That's right. That is. Consuela and tequila.
Yep.
So how'd you do last week in your money bets?
I took the Patriots -7.5, and they won by 8.
Yeah, there you go.
21-13.
I won twice again last week, so I've still only lost once this year. I won with the Panthers +1.5 and the Texans +6.5. That was a hell of a football game.
We are on fire. I've only missed one in the past 5 weeks.
We are on fire. You know, we have so many gags on this show that everybody, when they talk to me, all around me, I consistently hear these things all around me.
Right.
People say things. It reminds me of stuff.
Right.
All right. So who you got this week?
Well, I had two. I was going to take two different ones, and then I narrowed that down to one because things changed the other one. I was going to take the Texans -13.
Yeah, I see this. I see this on the outline. I looked at that and went, where the hell did he get that?
Well, I sent that to you before I knew about the torn ACL.
Yeah, right. Because I got him, like, 6.5, I think, is the game.
I'm just going to take the Seahawks -7.
Oh, well, that's no respect at all.
I'm sorry, dude. It's because you have so many injuries. It's not even your fault. There's nothing, you know, what are you supposed to do? You got
21
as many
guys on the injury report this week. 21, yeah, and 8 on injured reserve. 29 guys.
That's how many guys I've hurt on my fantasy team this year.
That's crazy. You know, they dress 45, right? There's like 16 guys that are going to be out there without a cast.
Oh, they're just scooping up guys off the street, man.
They're trying to. Okay, I'm going to take two games this week. I'm going to take the Saints and give 6.5 points. I think the Bucs offense is just dead. And I'm, you know what? I'm going to take the Colts and the 6.5 points because Tom Savage, he's not going to get it done, at least not big enough to be able to win by 7 points. So I'll take the Colts.
Colts plus 6.5, and it was Saints minus 6.5. Minus 6.5.
Right.
I guess we can go now.
All right, I guess we're done.
Bye!
Fight back, bounce back. Coming into the game, it'd be difficult to run the ball. You know, they had stopped some pretty good backs in the past.
Next week, we'll be back, bounce back.
Fight back, bounce back. Fight back, bounce back.
Kaiser goes back to pass, trailing by a million.
That's too good.
That is great. I'll put it out there right now for anybody that's going to broadcast a Browns game. All right. If you're the visiting team or if you have the Browns in your stadium, go ahead, try to top that guy. I'll be running tape on you.
And we'll do it again next time.
Later.
And that's Eli with the interception to seal the loss. Very good, Eli.
You've been listening to the Bang Radio Hour.
Mein lieber Schwan, hat der einen abgekriegt.
Listen to me.
Bang Radio.
Wait.
I only can control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Oh, Troy, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God!
Ain't a whole lot of that shit right there, yo.
You don't have to spend a lot of time kind of circumcising the mosquito.
Tuesdays at KFC gonna get you like, wow, pow, chow, kapow, get down right now. If you know how, then take a bow, because this deal's gonna raise a brow. Get 9 pieces of original recipe chicken for an eye-popping $5.99.
What the?
Every Tuesday at KFC. Every Tuesday from August 12th to September 3rd at participating restaurants, subject to availability.